But before I do that, we are supposed to read the steps.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Now, can we please have the tradition?
Hi, my name's Tara.
Hi.
Okay. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity. For our group, 2, for our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or friend. The teenage relatives of alcoholics, when gathered together for mutual aid, may call themselves an ality group, provided that, as a group, they have no other affiliation. 4, each group should be anonymous, except in matters affecting other Alateen or Al-Anon family groups, or AA as a whole. 5, each Alateen group has but one purpose, to help other teenagers of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves and by encouraging and understanding the members in our immediate family. 6, Alateens, being part of the Al-Anon family, ought never endorse, finance, or lend money, or lend our name, I'm sorry, to any outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary spiritual aim. Although a separate entity, we should always cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. 7, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alateen 12-step work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, our groups as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, the Alateen groups have no opinion on outside issues, hence our name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity on the level of the press, radio, TV, or films. We need guard with special care for the anonymity of all AA members. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personality.
By the way, my name is Mickey. The guy I'm introducing is a really good friend of mine, and when he taught me a lot about me and about the program. He's Tony Jean. He's from Huntington, West Virginia.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony, and I'm a member of Al-Anon, Alateen, Together Family Groups, and I'm also a recovering alcoholic. And it's only by the grace of God and you people around the 12-step programs that I'm alive, sober, and comfortable with myself today. I'd like to start off, like, I've heard many times, I'm real nervous. I got sweaty hands. But see, that's okay, because I realized today, you know, at least I feel something today, and I used to not feel anything at all. And it's naturally human to sweat and be nervous when you're standing in front of a bunch of people. I'm, like Mickey said, from the greater metropolitan area of Huntington, West Virginia. And I'm a member of the New Life group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and a member of the Westmoreland group of Al-Anon and Alateen. I'm gonna, as they tell me, I'm gonna tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I'll give you a little bit of background. I like to kind of rush through the drunk log if I can. I bounce back and forth, so you try to stay with me, but I like to get into the recovery because that's what's important to me today. You know, ever since I can remember growing up, you know, everything seemed all right up in, you know, until I was about 6 years old that I can remember. And, you know, my parents got a divorce at that time. And, you know, already before then, I can remember seeing alcohol around all the time. I mean, my uncle drank, everybody I knew practically drank, and that's all I saw. And, you know, time went along after that divorce, that hurt me real bad at that time. I had trouble admitting it. I hid it. All that pain and all that hurt I felt from a divorce, I stuffed down inside and tried to play macho about it at that young age even. You know, and it wasn't until I got into a program until the feelings started coming out about that divorce that I started realizing it. You know, I was full of anger from then on. All I saw was people drinking around me. And, you know, I'm going to include a little bit of my, like I said, what it was like for me, and that includes drinking also, and also living with the alcoholic members, because I have a lot of family members that drink, a lot of them. When I was about 9.5, 10 years old, I was at a much older kid's house, and, you know, they were all drinking and partying and having a good time. And, you know, like I said, I didn't want alcohol. I didn't know what it did for me. I didn't know what it would do for me, but I was real curious at that time. I wanted to experiment. You know, plus I wanted to fit in because I never felt right with anybody. Felt like I had to do what they did in order to get them to like me. And, you know, I practically did anything like that. It didn't matter what it was. I was 9.5, 10 years old when I took my first drink of alcohol, and I got drunk. And from then on out, every time I drank alcohol, I got drunk. You know, I remember that a feeling I got when I drank the alcohol. All the pain from seeing the arguing between my parents and all the pain I had inside, the alcohol relieved and pushed down somewhere where I didn't have to face it until I sobered up long enough that, and it started creeping back up, so I'd run again and do the same thing. I was, you know, when I was about 13, I think, I'm not real sure on age, I entered a vocational school to learn a trade, to do something with myself, and it was free, and it was over the summer, and I took it, and, you know, this is one instance that happened to me where I was affected by alcoholism from someone else that really touched me real bad, and affected me real bad, I guess. You know, I was in a welding class, and I was coming up on a big test, and I say this in every lead I give in an Al-Anon Alateen lead because it's important to me. I was out there, and we had a big test, and they asked if we had any members of our family that knew how to weld or knew anything about welding that could come in and sit with us while we take this test. And, of course, I had an uncle that was a jack of all trades and a master of none. And he drank a lot. I remember, you know, sitting at campgrounds bringing beer all the time, and that was a natural thing to do. And he came, and, you know, I thought, really, you know, this teacher was a Christian in a Baptist church and like preached religion to us in class, you know, and here comes my uncle. drunk. Big test that was important for me. And he come in there drunk, cussing and staggering and smelling of liquor. Well, I said, you know, maybe you should go home and I'll go ahead and take this test. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if y'all have ever seen a drunk try to hold something steady. Well, he's in there and I failed my test is what it came out. That hurt me, and I went back the next summer for probably a few weeks, and I quit. I couldn't stand it. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I was full of guilt. I blamed myself for asking him because I knew he drank all the time. I didn't have the nerve to face anybody there. You know, as time went on, I drank more because all that pain I had, I was wanting to cover it up. I just kept drinking, I kept drinking, and getting in more trouble and more trouble. You know, but it wasn't so much the trouble I was getting on the outside, it was the trouble I was feeling on the inside. That's what was tearing me up. I was living in hell, is what I call it, or real close to it. You know, just other things like going out in a boat with my dad, and you know, they always drank, and he'd buy a 6-pack of wine coolers for us, and you know, just thought it's not, you can have one here, and 2 hours, 3 hours later, you can have another one. He kept wondering, he'd drink and get drunk, and wonder how all the wine coolers were gone, and plus half his liquor cabinet downstairs. I would sneak down there and drink it, and that was my only way of coping or dealing with life, I thought, because I already found out that I couldn't do anything without a drink of alcohol, I thought. And I couldn't get along with my family. As time went on, it got worse at home. The arguments, the fighting, and just the verbal abuse. There wasn't a physical abuse with my parents. I mean, my sister got a few slug outs, but you know, we were both drunken too. And, you know, the verbal abuse that we put on each other, and you know, I stuff that inside, and you know, and I would take it out on people on the outside. I blew up with my little brother and my older sister a lot, but I would take it out. I'd go out to party, and I'd just jump on someone for no reason. Didn't matter who they were, what they were, and I did things like that. And you know, I'm not proud of that stuff today, but it happened. And you know, I can remember the pain, how bad it was, I had no idea it was alcohol, and I had no idea it was any of this stuff. I just thought that I was a bad person, and you know, God had already left me because he took my grandfather, who I loved a lot, and God wouldn't do anything for me, and I was a bad person is what I thought. You know, it came to about the end of my drinking, and I was so bad, I was so confused and hurt inside that I woke up for school late one day. And I was so full of pain that I was going to kill myself because I was late for school. That's what my reason was at that time. I was on Dilantin for, they were treating me for seizures, and I had a bottle of Canadian Mist, and I was going to drink them down and end all the pain and agony that I was putting my family through and everybody else. And maybe also, and that way I can get away from all the people putting all the agony on me. I was hurting real bad, and you know, and I still had no idea that it was the alcohol. And you know, I had some relatives that had went to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and into treatment, and I had observed these people very well. I went to the family sessions, you know, I was going to be the good family supporter, and I sat through the family sessions, and then I'd go out that night if I could get away or whatever. But I went to a few open meetings, and my first, I have to say this, my first open speakers meeting I went to, the man who got up there, who I later chose to be my sponsor, he told my story, my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that scared me, so I got drunk. But before that, my father, these family sessions suggested Alateen and Al-Anon for the family. No way, they're sick. They're like go pass or whatever, you know. But my father suggested maybe we try an Alateen meeting, and I figured there'd be other teenagers there, and I couldn't find any acceptance with the people my age outside and, or anybody else, and maybe, just maybe, there might be something there for me. So I went there and saw all kinds of pretty young ladies. You know, that's, we say that, a lot of us do, we say for the opposite sex, but I did, and anyway, I sat through that meeting, and I just sat back there. I didn't really pay attention. I kind of did, and I kind of didn't. I was fogged in the brain. I was taking pills and drinking previous to that, the night before anyway. And I wasn't in the best condition, and I wasn't really hearing anything. You know, there's something I forgot to do. I was kind of nervous, but I'd like to go ahead and do this now. I did this the last lead I gave, Alateen, and I like it a lot. People who have the literature, could you do this for me? This describes my first Alateen meeting when I was sitting in there. Yeah, could you start reading the traditions? Could you start saying the Serenity Prayer at the same time? Yeah. That's what it sounded like to me in the first meeting. When I tried to read something, the letters moved. About that time, I was still going to open AA meetings, and right when I walked in, if someone put their hand out and said, "Hello, my name is..." So, and I'd say, "I'm Tony, I'm Alateen." I made sure I justified the reason I was being there, because I didn't want anybody in that meeting to think I was an alcoholic. And I didn't fully believe it either. I was interested because, like I said, I heard my story. At the same time, I'm going to both meetings. This is confusing. It confuses me still yet today when I think about it. I'm going to Alateen and AA, and not serious about either one of them. I'm just there. And I didn't know what the problem was still yet, even though they were saying if you've been affected by alcoholism and if you were... I got double whammied from alcohol. And it's hard to... on the way up here, I was worrying about how I was going to talk or what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to leave AA out? And I know someone said something in a workshop we had that made a lot of sense. She's also an Alateen sponsor. And she said something that, it's my story and I need to say it. I quit trying to separate myself when I'm in one and try to just do the other one, because it all goes together and it's my program of recovery today. But anyway, I finally broke down. I was still drinking and doing other mood and mind altering chemicals. And I broke down and went to a closed meeting and started crying and asking for help. And it was the hardest time of my life. Because that means I was defeated. And I was never whipped at anything, so I thought. When I asked this man who was in a fellowship for 14 years for help, he talked to me in a little while. And he didn't say what I had to do, what I should do, or any of that stuff. He just talked to me and told me what he had done and what he was doing today. I could relate. He was a lot older than I was, but I could relate. And for once, I heard something. And the meetings I'd been to, I was just kind of there. But I finally heard something that really stuck with me. And this is it. He says, "It's not what you drink. It's not how much you drink. It's what happens to you when you drink." And that made a lot of sense to me. Because I was a pretty decent guy sometimes when I wasn't drinking. When I took a drink of alcohol, I was pure misery for everybody around me, including myself. I went into a treatment center. I was sober for 3 weeks. I waited a little while going to meetings, but I was scared and ran to a treatment center and went in. And it was good because it taught me the nature of the disease, what the disease was. And now I was ready to go into the solution. I was still attending Alateen before I went into treatment, and I was listening and learning. and finding out that there was nothing I could do about my uncle's drinking and everything. There was nothing I could do about all this stuff, and, you know, all this stuff. I was totally powerless over alcohol from both sides. You know, when I got out of treatment, I was really anxious to hop in the program. Really anxious to, and I got with some old-time AAs and some good people in Al-Anon and Alateen, and they helped me hop in. You know, the people, I truly admire old-timers in both programs because they have gave me what I got today by sharing with me what they have, and, you know, I'm forever grateful for that. Sometimes I hear young people say, I don't want to hear old people talking all this stuff. I tell you what, if I want for people who's been around, I'm going to say long-timers, not old-timers. There's all kinds of young, beautiful people out here. And you people gave me a program I have today. And, anyway, like I said, I was anxious to get involved in this program, and they told me I had to be willing to go to any lengths in Alcoholics Anonymous and then Al-Anon, willing to do anything I can for Buzz Ferguson. And I did. I got in with a sponsor who was the past state delegate of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he got me involved in service after staying sober for a few months, and it helped me. It helped me tremendously. You know, I want to jump back a little bit here and bounce from back and forth, but when I finally, you know, surrendered to the disease of alcoholism on both sides and wanted help, it was, something came over me. I don't say spiritual experience or anything like that. I call it a spiritual slap in the face. When someone told me that I was not a bad person, I was a sick person. And they had the answer to get well or surrender this disease one day at a time. And that was a relief. There was some hope there. But I'm not going to say it was easy from there because I had downfalls for a while. Sometimes I just feel, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? These people are still crazy. And then I'd have to look at myself and realize I needed an attitude adjustment. Because, see, there's one thing. I could not, in the program, forget my past. I was dwelling on the past. And, I say it's a relief, too, and not to get all emotional or anything, but my little brother, he's here tonight, and he's also recurring in Alateen. My mother's here, my whole family's here, all of y'all. And you know, he's recovering in Alateen, and I put that boy through so much, me and my sister did. I would get drunk, come home, throw up all over the place, hit on him, push him around. And then when we were outside, I'd take up for him. I was sick from the disease of alcoholism, and you know, he's in a program today, and I can't do anything about his program. He's got to do what he has to do to get better. But you know, I will do this again. I make my amends to him. I've done it over and over because I love him and everybody in my family dearly today. And you know, there was a time when I couldn't say that without choking inside. See, I didn't know what love was until I came to these 12-step meetings. I had no idea what love was. I can tell you what I thought love was, but I'm not going to. After the meeting. To get back to this, I have to do that every now and then to break my nervousness. It helps me to laugh a little bit. You know, this has been real great for me, this whole thing, and I think this whole thing deserves a round of applause because this has been a great weekend. I hope I'm not rambling too much. You know, I was... earlier, a few hours ago, I was setting up in the rose garden they have up there around that pond, and I went up there and sat by myself to say a little prayer and to meditate a little while, and I sat up there, and it's amazing. The joy I feel from being able to see colors today, when all I lived in was black and white. You know, I actually can enjoy myself and sit there at ease with myself and not feel bad about things I've done. And it was a real experience. I sat there by myself for about 15 minutes and just really relaxed and enjoyed myself. And it was just something, you all know what I mean. It's just unbelievable how I came from a place like that, and a higher power, which I choose to call God, pulled me out of that after I surrendered to him and asked him for help. I said that short little prayer that the Al-Anon speaker spoke of the other night. I'd also like to say she was magnificent. It touched me and it helped me a lot. And the speaker tonight, I missed. I really regretted that also. I had to take a nap. But I'm getting the tapes. I'm sure it was magnificent also. But anyway, you know, the program has gave me so much today, both programs, all three programs, the 12-step program. And, you know, by practicing these principles in all my affairs, my life has gotten better. I came around for a while and sat around and didn't do anything but sit there, and I wasn't changing. I was miserable. And I couldn't figure out why. My sponsor said, well, dummy, you got to work the steps. I got a good sponsor today. Yeah, I had to trade my first sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got a new one, and he's even harder than the first one. But he helps me stay involved. You know, there's no way I can give Al-Anon, Alateen, and AA what it's gave me. But damn it, if I won't try one day at a time by showing up and trying to carry the message. There ain't nothing I wouldn't do for a suffering alcoholic or someone in pain that needs to talk. This program has taught me to love others and to love myself. The whole thing is, let it begin with me. Wow. I used it in a negative way for years. But for once, I turned around and I used it in a positive way. Let it begin with me, and I'm going to help me, you know, through... I've come to learn a lot of things in this program. There's more than just 12 steps. There's 12 traditions also. And that's the concrete of our program. And I learned that I have to apply those principles in all my affairs one day at a time to practice all these principles in all my affairs, I believe. I try to get into the traditions because they interest me. I think it's neat how they wrote those out, and it's held these programs together for so many years. And I don't know if I'm sure a lot of y'all sat through business meetings and stuff in these things. They get pretty wild sometimes. But that, you know, first tradition of unity, I claim it to be unity. And everybody comes out hugging, even though they have harsh words sometimes about what they believe and what they feel. I have a say in these programs for once, and I didn't have a say in anything. I didn't think so. I said a lot, but I didn't have seen anything. I have to bounce back to acceptance, you know, and the different ways of acceptance. I look at it, you know, I was accepted by you people. You all took me in and loved me and talked to love myself, which took a while, but I'm learning to do that today. But you all love me, talk to love myself, and you know, y'all invited me back. Come back, keep coming back. Last time they said, get the hell out of here and don't come back. I was kicked out of all kinds of places, but you all let me stay. And I'm forever grateful for that. And you know, I know that I'm sober, alive, and feeling good with myself only because of the grace of God and you people around the table. Because you people were kind enough and loving enough to carry this message to me. I know a little wisecrack. When I was going to Alateen for a while, you know, it's funny how Al-Anon and Alateen are always up, like, upstairs, and AA's down here. Well, see, me and my dad were both going to Al-Anon and Alateen, and then all of a sudden we both got demoted down to AA. I won't say demoted. Actually, it was just as good. I'm grateful for that. I'll say. I say seven people in my family, like six or seven, who are recovering alcoholics today, staying sober. Have one other who's been in and out, in and out, in and out, and I don't know whether he's in or out right now, but you know, I pray for him every night, and I pray for the sick and suffering alcoholic. I have a mother and a little brother who's involved in Al-Anon family groups, and you know, we're all getting better one day at a time. We still go at each other down there, but not with fists today, and not with harsh words anymore. You know, we're actually family. And it feels good. I'm kind of went blank. I said a little prayer before I came in here. I walked across the field and I've been down by that big tree down here. I said a little prayer, and either self-will's got in the way or something. I can't think. I'm trying to say too much before I think it out. I've met some wonderful people here this weekend. And you know, like I said, I'm real grateful to be here. You know, I can remember back in the time before I came to a program and going places and doing things with my family and stuff. I was so cold at everybody and hateful towards everybody and started fights and did silly stuff like that. And, you know, and then I go places through these two programs and I can smile and walk around and talk to people and meet people and not jump on anybody. I lose serenity and peace of mind every now and then. But you know, I'm getting better. I'm striving for progress, I like to say, and not perfection. And sometimes I forget that and I try to be perfect. And that's not good for me. Because if I'm not perfect, I go on a pity pot sometimes. And can I do this the rest of the time? I'm enjoying myself anyway, whether I'm saying much or not. I'm just I got all kinds of good luck charms from people to get up here and talk, and maybe because I haven't rubbed them or anything. You know, there's a lot of people who's helped me out in this program, and they're God-sent people, certain people, and they know who they are today. You know, because I came in and I wasn't a happy camper. I was an egotistical jerk with an inferiority complex. Like I said before, I like saying this, I was God's gift to women, but I wouldn't ask anyone out. I was, like I said, egotistical. I would tell you I was the center of the world, and I believed it. I was also a good liar to myself. And I was inferior on the inside, very much inferior, and I felt that way all my life up until I got into the program and started working the steps and stuff. You know, we had a couple workshops today, and they were real good today, and they had one on trust and honesty, and they went on communication, and you know, trust is another thing I learned in this program. I didn't trust anybody. I couldn't trust myself, I think, is the reason I couldn't trust anybody. And you know, today I actually let some dude walk me around. I ain't gonna say his name. Where'd he go? Anyway, how you doing? Hey, he walked me around and I kept my eyes closed and he walked me up and down hills and stuff. And that was trust. The first time I let go. And you know, there's something I learned from that workshop that we had today, and it helped me a lot today with trusting. You know, he gave me clear-cut directions on what was in front of me and where to step and everything. Clear-cut directions, the same clear-cut directions I get in his program. both of these programs, and if I follow these clear-cut directions, I won't fall, but if I do fall, there will always be someone there to pick me up. I try to follow these directions on a daily basis because, like I said, I'm a human being and I do fall short. But like I said, I have tools today I can use to bring myself back up and I can get to a meeting, whether it be Al-Anon, Alateen, or Alcoholics Anonymous. And any one of the three I go to helps me. I go to more AA than I do any others because if I get drunk, I won't have Al-Anon and I won't have Alateen. I won't let anything jeopardize my sobriety today. Nothing at all. It's hard to even say, but I believe it in my heart today. I would not let the closest family member jeopardize my sobriety today. I would leave. Because I won't have a family member if I take that drink. And there's a very simple program for complicated people. I like to complicate things like everybody else. I make mountains out of molehills. That's what I do. You know, something can go on, and it's very, very minor, but I can blow it up inside. And then, you know, I have a choice when I do that. I have a choice. I either can get off my butt and take some action and do something about it, or I can sit around and be miserable. And, you know, you guys gave me that choice when I came in this program, and I'm very grateful for that choice I have. Just like the choice I have today, I don't have to take that first drink unless I want to, one day at a time, by going to meetings, unless I want to. This program's done a whole lot for me. It's not making time go any faster, but... I don't know, maybe I should have prepared myself a little bit with notes. I know I'm rambling, but I'm doing what I can do as of right now. I hope that makes sense. You know, there's a lot of things I've learned in this program that has changed my life tremendously, and like I said, there's no way I could pay it back. But, I heard the gentleman speaking for the AA lead, and he said something. I came on the porch right before it was over, and I was sitting there thinking, and I heard him say, you know, the only time I need to look down my nose at another alcoholic or another suffering person is when I'm bending over, picking them up, or talking with them. You know, and I truly believe that yet today, but, you know, like I said, I have been guilty of misusing that 12th tradition. I have placed personalities above principles, you know, and I found myself doing it this week, and I'm going to be honest because I need to do this. I need to say this. I was judgmental. Oh, no. But, you know, a person I judged, I talked with and like them. It's amazing. You know, it's only by the grace of God and you people I'm alive and sober and doing okay with me today. You know, I hate to close this early, but I've been rambling and my mind won't do anything else right now. I would just like to say, there's a thing I have about friends I love to say at the end of a meeting because someone said it before. Nothing I say is original. It's always been said before. But, you know, and I loved it and it helped me a lot. And, you know, it goes like this. You know, don't walk in front of me because I don't like to be led around. Don't walk behind me because I might not lead you right. But walk beside me because I need a friend. Thanks. Another amazing thing, something giving to me free, and I didn't steal it.
Closing prayer, please.